This is Six Pack Hour with your hosts, Joe Bob and AJ Appleton.
Right, all right. Welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me, as usual, Mr. AJ Appelgarth. What's going on, man?
Not much. Just chilling down here in lower terrains.
Oh, I don't know if I really want to know what that means. Don't.
It's because
don't. Nope.
I'm on.
I didn't. I just said nope. Don't. Jeez, you're like my kid. I said nope. Don't.
Yeah. I don't care. I don't listen.
It's a Wednesday, but this is no different than a Thursday with us. This is phenomenal.
Welcome to Wednesday's Fantasy Six Pack Hour. Please break out your tea and crimpets, and we'll see you in tea time.
I have no idea. Dap, what's
up, man?
Is that
tea spiked?
Hi, how are you?
Not spiked, it's twisted.
So, I think the important thing, again, is always to give the audience a chance to know what's going on behind the curtain. And nobody knows the immense adventure that you went on, Joe. And I would love for you to share kind of the heartbreak and the triumph that you had, almost like that, you know, 80s movie with, you know, any 80s movie with a guy that, you know, without a shirt on that, you know, is able to conquer so many foes. You were able to figure out your mic sound situation.
Yeah. So if... If you listened and watched the last week's show, you probably couldn't hear me. A lot of people couldn't, apparently.
Us included.
Hopefully I didn't say anything important. I usually don't, but anyway. Wait, am I AJ? No.
20,000 Twitter followers can't be right.
Don't have that many, but anyway.
Exactly my point.
Yeah, so trying to figure it out, did some testing. And realized that for some reason, Microsoft Windows settings turned down my mic maximum volume to 30. Wow. So no matter what I did on StreamYard, I would never get louder than whatever 30 means. You know, but like, it's clearly not high enough. So,
pretty sure 30 means 30.
30 out of 100. Whatever that means. But yeah, pretty funny. I was just like, I looked at it and I'm like, oh my, I feel so stupid, but like still also have no idea how that got changed. Because, you know, I go into the audio property settings of my computer all the time. Never.
Okay, I was about to say.
Absolutely not.
I was really confused.
Was it never or all the time? I'm thrown for a loop here with my twisted.
Little sarcasm.
I'm always going to the cookies and clearing the, you know, history. That's just me though.
Though that's why you need the StreamYard code over and over again, chickass.
Well, I mean, as somebody who has an OnlyFans, as you know, Joe, I am always in my audio settings. So, yeah.
Clearly.
Turning it down.
All right. Tonight, we're going to be talking about some recent hot and cold hitters, looking at the last 14, but then kind of using StatCast data as a way to kind of say, okay, is this last 14 real? Or is this, you know, can they sustain it, or is it, you know, not going to sustain, or, you know, is the, you know, hot or cold? Before we get into that, though, just want to remind everybody, you know, and please hit those subscribe buttons. If you're watching on Facebook, hit the like buttons. If you're listening on iTunes or Spotify or whatever, leave those reviews. We appreciate it. And then, obviously, our all-access memberships are always available. Go to fantasysixpack.net/plans. Become an all-access member today. You're going to get access to our Discord where you can talk to me and Dap and AJ and everybody else there all the time. You're going to get access to our hitting planner, our pitching planner, our waiver wire article, our DFS projections. We're going to have our football content rolling out here super soon. I'm working on the final touches of the football cheat sheet coming out here, so that'll be good stuff. And there's going to be a lot more going on with football as well coming up here. So definitely join, and we look forward to talking to you on our Discord.
Did you mention the super accurate rankings? I mean, I just want to make sure because Keith just released another 350 players and he ranked them. So just something that you should definitely get on right away.
I did not for some reason. Good call. Yes, our award-winning most accurate baseball rankings. We have award-winning football rankings as well.
Yep.
All of our badges are at the bottom. We've actually added IDP rankings. Mace joined us. He finished inside the top 10 last season for IDP ranking. So haven't had a chance to add that badge yet, but it's just know that we have now a top-notch IDP ranker among the ranks here on Fantasy Six Pack. So let's get to it. Let's do our drink / beer of the week.
Beer.
So AJ, you're not ready. So Dap.
Day 222. Looking for that Tito sponsorship because I can't afford bigger bottles. Tito's. When you really need to talk to AJ more about his relationships, Tito's.
It's 2 weeks in a row if you're drinking vodka because of AJ.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean,
hey, at least he's done drinking it because of Oakland, right? What, did they start winning?
No.
I missed it.
Wow. Oh, wow. Baby, they don't mean that.
Oh, baby, my God.
They don't mean that. Don't listen to them.
Phenomenal. That was top notch.
That's great. That's great. Okay, well.
Are you going to go?
Don't need that. All right. Yeah. Today, I'm drinking the K5 Topless Blonde Ale from Big Truck.
All right, you love saying
Big
that.
Truck Brewing. Shit is good. Go check them out. Somewhere in Maryland. I don't know where yet. Brewed and canned. What? Exton, Pennsylvania. Are you high? That's where I grew up.
Definitely not Maryland. Good work.
Never visited there. No, their brewery is in Maryland, but apparently this specific one was brewed and canned at Big Truck Farm Brewery in Exton, Pennsylvania.
It's like in your backyard.
That's amazing. That's
you had no idea. Good work, man. Way to be a fan.
Let me zoom it in for you.
I hope I'm definitely louder because I'm laughing so hard at you right now. It has to be louder. So I'm drinking a Definitive Brewing Company. Not a very sexy can.
Canoe.
Distant style. Gardens DDH Dippa. Very good. Give it a 4.25 on tap.
D's in there. You'd like putting all those D's in that mouth?
That's what she said.
That doesn't really change the question.
No, it doesn't. Okay. I don't know. No, nope. I was just trying to pivot, and then I realized that didn't work at all.
Miserably.
That was not. So, that was like, let's just move on, shall we?
All right. Let's go some balls.
So we're going to look into some hot and cold hitters here in the last, you know, couple of weeks here. So, you know, like a lot of fantasy baseball players, right? You go back and you're looking at your waiver wire. You're looking at what? You want somebody who's going to be an impact guy right now, who's hot, right? And so you go back, and what do? You filter by, well, usually for me, it's like I'll hurt like last seven sometimes, but I'm like, you got like, you know, 20 at bats. Maybe that's not enough. Go back to 14. Let's see what's really going on, right? You might have played Oakland. Oh, wait, sorry. In the last seven.
Dude, what the hell, man? That's so long. Wrong of you.
Is it anyway, so you look back at the like the last 14, you know, days worth of stats for hitters and, you know, even pitchers, but we're not going to do pitchers. We're just focusing on hitting. We got enough of that to talk about. So we're going to look at some of those guys that are hot and cold right now over the last couple of weeks, and then look at their Statcast data, Baseball Savant, and you kind of use that as a guide for us to say whether or not they can continue the hot streak or or not, or, you know, the cold streak is going to continue, you know, maybe not as hot or as cold. Obviously there's always extremes, but like, can you count on them the rest of the way based off of what StatCast data is telling us? And so the number one player on our board, and Dap, I'm going to let you take this one. Juan Soto struggled to start the year. He struggled last year, and everybody's like, oh man, maybe we shouldn't have bought back in. Right. The last couple of weeks, man, he's looking like himself. Four bombs, hitting .310. The runs and RBI aren't there, but he's also stolen four bases, which is pretty nice. So, sure. You know, I expect the runs and the RBI to be there. The San Diego team's way too good. Machado's, you know, as has been a little banged up. So, you know, hopefully that'll help things. But, you know, what's your thoughts here looking at some of this StatCast data here or others? You know, go ahead and, you know, throw in whatever you want to.
Sure.
So whether or not that he can continue this.
Right. So this is using StatCast data, but because Sarah Langs on Sports, or S Langs on Sports on Twitter, highlights some really great StatCast data that we, of course, saw in our deep dive that we did pre-show as well. But yesterday, Juan Soto had a single and a home run. His single was 113.8 miles per hour, and his home run was 113.1 miles per hour. It's the first time he'd had multiple 113-plus mile-an-hour batted balls in a game in his career, and he's the third Padre to do it since 2015. Just some of the other names, because there's only two of them. Franchi Cordero in 2018, and I don't know if this guy's going to be any good, but Fernando Tatis in 2021. Oh. So, yeah, the
first guy wasn't
obviously I purposely went Cordero first. Look, I mean, it's a matter of and we can all agree on this, right? I think it's just a matter of just time with Soto. When you're hitting the balls that hard, you know, things are going to start following pretty quickly. His home run was 441 feet. That's just insane.
Smashed it. Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, so that plus, you know, the exit velocity off his bat, anything over 100 it's great. 110 is elite. And then doing it twice in a row at 113, I mean, yeah, no issues there at all. The massive breakout that we expect from Soto is coming for sure. And I expect that to even, you know, start really ratcheting up as it gets hotter outside.
Yeah, I agree with everything you say. Like, the StatCast data has been there. It was even there last year to some degree. It just wasn't working. It was weird. Like, and that's why everybody was kind of buying back into him this year, myself included. And you know, the first month was like,
right.
All right, man. Like, you know, obviously the BAB, you know, not the BAB, but the OBP was always there. You're like, all right, I mean, he's still walking a lot. Thanks, man. That's not getting me anything else. But now he's still walking a lot, but he's also getting on base. So that's what you want to see. You want to see these hard hit balls actually landing. And, you know, no doubter, like he's back, man, in my opinion. So
the one thing that's kind of interesting, sorry, before I go to AJ real quick, is his batting average of balls in play last year, if you include both times, right, was at .249 last year. Now, throughout his career, right, in 2020, he was .332. In in 2019, he was .312. So, and then he was .363. The reason I'm bringing those up, right, is batting average of balls in play can be a lot of different things, but because he hits the ball so hard, that expected number for him to just even hit grounders at that elite number of exit velocity, it's going to typically find a hole. So now that we've obviously gotten rid of the shift and all these other things, I just expect it to keep on climbing. So this is probably about as close to the floor as you're going to get with Soto.
Yeah. If you're able to somehow finagle him in a trade, I think you won.
Did we miss that shift? The answer is, I don't know. All right. Yeah, I think with Soto, it was really just a matter of time with this guy. He was going to figure it out. He's too big. He's too powerful. He's too good to just have been as bad as we had seen recently, and last year and whatnot. So Unfortunately, I do not have any shares of him, and I'm probably playing him most weeks against me. So, yeah, it seems about right. All right, sorry, we got next. Joseph.
I'm finishing the tweet, but yeah. So next guy up here, a guy who's been a hot topic on Twitter. And rightfully so, been absolutely killing it after a very rough start to the season. Christopher Morel, over the last couple of weeks, probably, I mean, arguably one of the best players in baseball over the last couple of weeks, right? 8 home runs, 16 runs, 14 RBI. Doesn't steal, but I guess you don't have to steal a lot when almost every single one of your hits goes for a home run. But, you know, batting average at 350. I mean, everything just sky high here. I mean, the dude's mashing. I mean, his max hit exit velocity was 113, just crushing the ball. Who wants to take this one?
It's almost not fair. I'll start because I wrote my name next to this for that purpose. Way to pay attention. But... yeah, Morel, I mean, is a bit of a small sample size, but again, I mean, just comparing the last couple of weeks and overall with Soto, I mean, the max hit speed is 113.6 compared to 113.8 for Soto. You know, you're looking at the barrels is, you know, about half. He's got 9, Soto's got 19, but again, the attempts is 4 times as many for Soto. So I mean, it's pretty inspiring to see all of this coming through right now for Morel.
Inspiring? Yes. Like Rudy inspiring?
It is. Okay. It is.
All right. I mean, I just want to make sure I understood the inspiring. All right.
Keep going. Oh my god, that made me spit on my beer.
All right. I will continue to come up.
No. I'm just thinking about Rudy right now. Go ahead.
Andres to make Joe cream his
beer. It wasn't what you said. It was what Dad said.
Yes, exactly. But the reaction that my entendres get for Dap. It's
inspiring. It's inspiring. Get it.
It is. It's an inspiring effort that we're putting forth here.
It's like watching Tiny Tim, like, you know, just make it out there. So go ahead.
Continue. Yeah. Yes, totally off topic, but my wife is hates Tiny Tim because of his voice, and he's just a freaky little dude. But he was the star of a SpongeBob episode early on. Anyway, well, one of his songs was. But yeah, Morel. 23 years old.
It wasn't the Christmas Carol, wasn't it? Wasn't his name Tiny Tim also?
Yes, I believe.
Yes, so. I think Dap was referring to.
That's what I was referring to because, you know, obviously, you know, him is a miracle. Anyways, forget it. Go ahead. Oh, yes. Cool. Right.
All I'm thinking of is like the Disney Christmas Carol and like everybody sheds a tear at the end because, like, yeah, you're like, aw.
Yeah, that's where I was going with that. But
AJ goes deep, dark.
With a deep cut. I was like, what?
I am going deep with Tiny Tim.
Wow. And his little ukulele. Painful. I got it. Yes. Yes. I understand. Yeah. For yes, the other people that are under 80 years old, I also got that also. So go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, but you should look him up. He is a very scary looking gentleman.
Oh, you're saying that about Tiny Tim from Christmas Carol. That's not nice. We're going to get a lot of hate mail. No one knows that. Yeah, he was 107.
Like 5 subscribers. Thanks a lot, AJ.
5 subscribers or live watchers? Which one's which?
I don't know.
Check me out on Discord while I'm never there to see my new Tiny Tim
stuff. Is that what you call it? Sorry.
That's not the right Discord I'm promoting here.
Okay, so, okay. All right, so
Christopher Tim Morel, my mini, whatever. Yeah, I don't know. Dap thoughts?
I'm done
just
here.
Gonna turn it over to you at this point.
Mike, you want to just finish your show? I think I'm done, man.
All right. So a couple things, right? And you know, one another guy that I follow a lot of, Corbin Young. Corbin Young, 21 on Twitter. He posts up that, you know, Christopher Morales averaging 103.9. Now remember, 103 is a really magical number, as we heard right from Juan Soto a minute ago. But he's averaging 103.9 exit velocity, number one, to the opposite field. So imagine, again, if he did pull power, right? So Morales' pull power is 99.6, which puts him at number two for batted ball events. So every time he hits the ball, you know, we're talking, anytime there's an event where it actually hits his barrel. So anything, grounders, anything, 99.6. Opposite field's 103.9. That's crazy to me. Now, again, Morales breaking every possible StatCast number out there, but even more fun is this. He had 29 games in the minors this year, and he had 11 home runs. In 12 major league games, he had 9 home runs. His last one yesterday was 383 feet. So again, he's not hitting, you know, little one ballpark type home runs. He's crushing the ball. This story, if anything, the stats tell us, right, looks great. I don't think he's Babe Ruth, but at the same time, I'm having too much fun trying to bet against him because every time I think he's coming down to earth, he just goes the other way. It's going to happen, obviously, at some point, but right now the numbers are backing up this incredible blowout. But the problem with the numbers is we don't see it anywhere else, right? We don't see those kind of StatCast numbers, well, because we don't see StatCast in the minor leagues right now, but we haven't seen those kind of ridiculous numbers before. So that's the only way that these StatCast numbers seem to be not telling the full story from what we've seen before. If it continues, though, give it another month, then... I mean, Mike Trout, watch out. I don't know.
He wasn't this highly touted of a prospect. Like, you look at his, you know, you look at his prospect reports and they're not that good. Like, they're really not. Like, power, not really what you would expect from somebody doing what he's doing. Right. But, I mean, yeah, you're right. The StatCast data is just backing up. Like, he's just crushing the ball. The thing that worries me is, like, this dude strikes out an absolute ton.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so, like, and he doesn't walk. Like, 5.8% walk rate, 36% K rate. It's just, like, right now, he's hitting enough of when he's not striking out, he's just making contact, and that contact has been super good.
Well, and not only that, he's hitting everything, right? If you look at his home runs, he's hit four-seam fastballs. He's hit sliders. He's hit cutters. They're up in the zone. They're in the obviously the middle of the zone's great. There's even one all the way on the inside that's out of the strike zone. I would probably say, you know, it looks like it's about a foot off the plate inside, and he crushed that one too. And that was a slider.
I was going to say, like, the one thing you would think, right, is pitchers are going to figure out what doesn't work for him, but he's not missing anything. Exactly. So it's like, what doesn't work for him right now? Yep. It's like... it's just an anomaly. Like, he's an anomaly, like, in a good way. Right. Speaking of anomalies, and I meant to lead with this, sure. Marcus Semien is an anomaly in a good way also, but, like, it doesn't make any sense. Sorry, I am gonna have to go off for a few minutes here. We're talking about StatCast data today, right? Marcus Semien's StatCast data does not back up anything he does productively. Like, his production, we know, is super good. Like, a couple of years ago, he hit, 45 bombs, was, like, second in the majors.
So angry.
No, I'm not angry. It just doesn't make any sense. I did a whole article on Fantasy Six-Pack last year based off the 2021 season, kind of looking at exit velocity versus, like, average exit velocity versus home runs. And when I was studying all the data, Marcus Semien's data made zero sense. His exit velocity, he was, like, second in home runs that year. He was 57th in exit velocity, which does not match up. Like, right. He was by far the biggest outlier in all of that. Now, he has a decent launch angle, which, Dab, I was explaining this to you before the show, right? His launch angle that year was 19% or 19 degrees, which is really good. But if you have a launch angle of that much, you need to be able to hit it hard, because if not, those tend to be pop flies. That's like the 20 range is that like magic number where like if you don't hit it hard enough, it's going to drop in, you know, just short of the wall.
Right.
And so like, again, didn't make any sense. It still doesn't make any sense. He's still being a very productive hitter overall this year. And his Statcast data is actually worse than it was that year. Like, what magic dust are you putting on this ball, Marcus, that you hit that it just like flies? Like, what the hell is going on? I don't understand how he's the one guy that I look at every single time with Statcast data. And kudos to Keith Lott for on Discord, like mentioning him in the chat. He was just like, his data doesn't make any sense. And I was like, oh, I totally forgot. Yeah, no, you're right. It never will, because it just doesn't. But he even threw out like other numbers. He threw out like the, you know, Keith Lott's going into like all the X Bacons and stuff like that, which a lot of people have no idea about. But like those stats are like really low, but yet his production X-Bacon? Is
like, who doesn't want bacon?
I know, but
his ex apparently doesn't want bacon.
Where in the crotch and then push him over on the ground.
He said his ex didn't want bacon.
He's not supposed to have a voice of. By the way, he's not supposed to have a 340 average over the last 2 weeks with an average exit velocity of 88. This doesn't happen.
I mean, 88, I feel like I might be able to top that.
My God, you said that like a week ago about something else, and I'm just like, no, you're wrong. I think you said you would hit like a major league pitcher or something like that. First off, you would never get a hit off of a major league pitcher.
Hey, that's not what I'm saying. Well, okay, maybe. Throw old man Tim Wakefield out there. I'll take.
I was just gonna say, you're gonna say Wakefield. You would never hit a knuckleball.
89 out, gone. Bring it, Wakefield. Bring it.
How about Bartolo Colon?
I fucking love Bartolo Colon, and that's funny that you mentioned that because
you and Dave Eddie should be best friends.
Dude, there's nothing wrong with some Big Sexy. Okay, he is an idol to many, many children across the world. He is a philanthropist. He is a hell of a baseball pitcher. The guy slugs doubles like it's his job, because it is. And what's not to like? Really? God. But it's funny because me and my buddy were just talking about that. And my retort was that he said, dude, you're so lucky that Bartolo Colon's son, Nestor, is on a delay right now because he's got Nestor Cortez. It's a different last name, but we all know the truth. And I said, Bartolo tells fewer lies about his sexual exploits than the OG GW told about that cherry tree, because it all makes sense. And we bring things together here on the Fantasy Six Pack. Tiny Tim, OG GW history, and Big Sexy. You're welcome, America.
You know,
Dave, I got $7 that says, and AJ, I never heard of Statcast before tonight. Wow. Thanks to give us some cred, Dave.
Oh, man. I was really going to say that I got a notice that there is a serial killer loose on our set because AJ killed yet another segment. But that was what I was just saying.
So we're going to go to Lane Thomas here.
It's the glasses.
Lane Thomas over the last couple of weeks. I'm going to just talk over all of you. Offensive WAR 5.4. Four home runs, 12 runs, 7 RBI, and 1 steal. Pretty solid numbers. Striking out, 25%. Walking, 5. I feel like, is he finally turning into kind of that power, kind of middling speed type of guy that, I think a lot of us thought he could be for a while. I keep buying into him. He's obviously like, getting for free in drafts. So it's always like, last pick, Lane Thomas, thank you. Did it again this year.
If you have best ball, Lane Thomas is a guy you need to always roster. The problem with him in regular, you know, either daily or weekly, is trying to figure out when he's hot.
Yes.
You know, if you look at his stat, don't look at his Statcast page. Let me just start there. Or don't look at his baseball savant page.
So, I mean,
right. But don't look at his baseball savant page, especially. It's 90% blue. You know, his sprint speed is 95%, arm strength is 90, but everything else, even his max exit velocity is like 55th percentile.
Yeah.
And that's something we really wanted to highlight here with Lane Thomas. We're going to highlight here a couple other people as well, that it's not always a predictor as well, right? Morel, same thing. You know, his numbers are great right now, but they're so incredibly, you know, extreme that there's nowhere to go but down at some point unless he starts using a metal bat. Lane Thomas is just a guy that is such an anomaly. At the same time, if you look at his spray chart, it's almost center and it's going to be center and everything's poolside, right? He doesn't go opposite except for one home run that I don't know if it hit off his bat incorrectly or something, but he went complete opposite field. Everything else is poolside. Now, if you look also at kind of like, you know, the people that he's expected to be like, right? Similar batters. Right now it's, you know, Brandon Crawford, you know, Michael Taylor, Ian Happ. But what do we know about those players? Incredibly streaky, right? Yeah. I mean,
yeah, every single one of them. You're right.
Right. And I just don't know if, I don't know. I just don't know if that's necessarily, you know, who I want to be playing with there. But yeah, I mean, his stats are one thing. His numbers are completely something else. That's the, you know, kind of the there, but he's got a ton of home runs. I mean, for what you see there and then to look at his stats, he's got a ton of home runs. And I expect a lot more stolen bases, especially this environment, especially with his speed. You know, 95th percentile, but...
Yeah, only four on the year total. That's pretty shocking. He never really ran, but I mean, obviously, yeah, again, different environment this year, so you were hoping for more. I'll tell you, like I kept buying back into him. He had a really rough start to the season, which probably doesn't help some of his Statcast data, but yeah, I mean he's super streaky. I had dropped him in the couple of like daily or even weekly leagues that I had him in, just because he was like ice cold, and he plays on the Nats, so like
right.
Didn't really expect too much from him. Obviously best ball, I still have him and I'm reaping the benefits. Sure. For now, right. But you know, when he's not doing well, he just sits back on my bench and I don't have to worry about it. Hopefully somebody else is doing well at that point. So I'm totally with you there. AJ, next up for you, man, Mr. Paul DeJong. Is he turning back the clock? This is a guy who, a few years ago was a stud, man. Nah, I mean, 30 bombs, you know, 9 stolen bases back in 2019. That's no joke, man. Kind of battled some injuries off and on here. But now he's returned for the Cards, and he's been crushing it.
He has been awesome.
The last couple weeks, let me just say these real quick. Last couple weeks, Paul DeJong, 5 home runs, 15 runs, 12 RBI, hitting a cool .239, though. And that's what I mean by cool. So that's no good. But the rest, you're loving. You know, OBP is 340, so at least he's walking a good bit enough to not kill you there. So what are you seeing with some of the underlying stats to say whether or not he can continue this run and maybe bounce back to kind of where he was?
Yeah, I mean, and you're looking at the teams that he started doing this against, and, you know, he was started getting hot at the end of that Boston series a few weeks ago in Boston. Then they played Milwaukee, and he was kind of up and down. But, I picked him up in, actually, I think all three of at least three of the leagues that I'm in. One is points, so never mind. But that's the one where it's same conversation with my buddy about the Big Sexy. He's a big Cards fan, so I started the week off with how's my parentheses de and then Zhang taste, because
nailed it, Dad. Oh my God, we just said you were gonna make a yes, you know,
yeah,
joke. What? No doubter.
Why do you think I wrote my name next to this?
I bet so I could. I took the odds on Caesar And I actually placed a bet before the show. I know we're not supposed to bet on our own thing, and I cannot wait to cash out.
Dab, you are now suspended.
yeah. I knew it. I knew it. I was going to be.
Anyway, but no, I had to do it.
I got a tick. I got a tic tac toe or whatever the hell it is. I got a bingo on my AJ F6P
That's
card.
The free space. AJ says about Dong and Dejong in the same sentence.
I love that our producer likes to talk through a megaphone there. I don't know why. I was
awful.
That was terrible.
Sounded like me last week, just louder. Okay, move on, AJ. You got Ashley stuff. We're just getting like laughing comments from people on YouTube. This is great. I love it. Thanks, Charles.
So Dejong
emojis. Please.
So Dejong's really streaky. We've always known he is. He's kind of like our show. You know, we have a streak of like, you know, really interesting stuff, and then, you know, we derail ourselves. Right. I mean, just so we know.
Because he didn't start tonight, though. And he's put up, like, so just this week alone.
Tell us the stats. Wait, give us some stats. I'm excited.
Five, four, if I can add. 11. I mean, 7 runs, 2 bombs, 8 ribbies, no stolen base. I mean, come on, Dong. I mean, Dejong. What's up with that? Oh, wait, never mind. He got one yesterday. I mean, this is what we thought we were going to have with this guy. But he like we preached,
3 stolen bases in the last 2 football. Weeks. What are you talking? What are you looking at?
He has 3 stolen bases all of last year.
3 days.
Oh, well, whatever.
Yeah, the old three-day metric.
I'm not saying the stolen bases is what we saw with this guy. No, dumbass. Pay attention. I'm a whole picture kind of guy. All right, you should know that by now. Clearly you don't. Anyway, I think the talent's there, but he's too streaky. If he can keep this rolling. Awesome. I mean, I love it. But shortstop, we talked about how deep this position was, or so we thought, early on, and then it turned out to be nothing. So if you can nab him and you know, play the hot hand, I'm all for it.
Bingo.
Yeah, the only problem is that he was sent down to the minors last year. He came up for the minors this year. So it's not like there's a floor here, you know, as opposed to like somebody who, when they go on a cold streak, is going to be an average major league hitter. He's a minor leaguer, you know, at its worst.
Quad A player kind of guy. Like, he'll crush minors, but come up and struggle. He'll get hot here and there. Yeah.
And the thing is, right, we're looking at somebody who last year was at 30, you know, in the almost 30s with his strikeouts, and now he's keeping it around 26. I mean, his sweet spot, especially the times where he broke out, right, is about 26, 27, or obviously below that. If he can keep it there, great. But yeah, again, I mean, his stack, he's always been a stack cast darling. He's a guy who's just going to, you know, absolutely crush the ball, as we've seen again and again. You know, and the Cardinals are heating up as well.
Yep.
You know, again, we like this goes back to our last guy that we just talked about, you know, who don't look at his Statcast numbers because you're going to get the wrong story. Paul Dejong is going to give you the wrong story as somebody who just can crank, you know, just destroy the ball when he hits it. But can he hit it? Can he actually touch the ball? That's always going to be, you know, the big problem there.
We do have a question, though, from Charles here, who is listening. I read that comment. Thank you. Think Witt can keep up his pace on stolen bases, 7 in the last week. Yahoo predicting 17, which is it's kind of a joke. More for the rest of the season. I would probably drop Steer, which has gotten hot.
Absolutely.
To me, that's a no-brainer. You're picking up Bobby Witt. I know, and he's a guy who we almost threw into the next segment as like one of the cold hitters, but like, I think we all just kind of believe that he's
just too good. I know the team sucks, unfortunately. That's kind of the downfall there. But Bobby Witt's a guy who, I mean, I could easily predict like 25 or more stolen bases the rest of the year. And a lot of the, you know, a lot of the other predictor systems, projection systems, probably a better word, are saying around the same thing. So I, you know, you're saying 17.
No, he's
17 more. Sorry. Yeah. No, yeah. He's going to be, he's just too good. He's too fast.
He had 30 last year. I mean, and now we're talking a completely different environment, and yeah. If you watched him take his leads off first base, he's almost walking to second base by the time the pitcher throws the ball. I mean, Bobby Witt is the poster boy of somebody who, well, sorry, poster man of somebody who's going to be taking advantage of this new role. And if nothing else, he's going to get more and more kind of just comfortable with it. And those numbers, I could almost predict him at 50.
That's a good call. Is he talking about Whit Merrifield? AJ asked that in our chat. Are you talking about Whit Merrifield? Because he did put one T now that I'm
yes, he
it.
Is.
Okay.
Well, in that case,
that's no, a different story.
I know. You have to be pretty desperate for steals. 15. You have to be pretty desperate for steals to take on a Whit Merrifield. He's bad everywhere else.
Well, the other problem is, because look how many games he's played, right?
That's my knock on him. That's why I said, no, this has got to be Whit Merrifield.
Okay, yeah.
He's not giving you
you're
power.
Right. My bad.
I mean, you can find those somewhere else. The steals are nice, but the playing time is the big knock for him. And since he came to Toronto, it always has been. So I don't necessarily have a problem dropping steer for him if you want to try to ride the steals, but I think over the course of the season, steer is going to be the better player.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's 10 team, you might be able to go back and grab steer, or if you have a better drop candidate, maybe go after that.
Witt's average is solid this year, 295. That's kind of the only thing helping too.
I mean, other thing you'd have to look at, and since the question's out, I don't recall if it was in there. I don't think it was, but if it's a daily roster change,
it wasn't,
or weekly,
yeah.
So that would.
I'm not doing that move. We need to move on. So let's get into some more cold hitters here. We're gonna start with Julio Rodriguez.
Drop him. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Cut.
Everybody in my leagues, drop him, please.
Easy cut.
So, oh my gosh. So we've got Mr. Julio over here, and you know, his stat line over the last couple of weeks. Honestly, the whole season hasn't really gone the way that people were expecting for him. But over the last couple of weeks, you know, one home run. I mean, counting stats fine. 11, 7 RBI, 2 steals. Hope for more steals. But he's just not getting on base, man. 255, 352 OBP. You know, he was a 30-30 guy on pace last year until he got hurt, like, right at the end of the season, man. What do we do with this guy, Depp?
The number one thing, right, is his batting average of balls in play is just ridiculously low. That's only going to change. He's almost at the top of every metric: hard hit percentage, line drive, exit velocities. I mean, it's not the highest. Obviously, we've talked about some of the outlier, you know, leaders in exit velocity right now, but his batting average of balls in play is just insanely low. That's going to change drastically and quickly if he continues with what he's been doing. I mean, you're just looking at somebody who is just, you know, luck at some point, right? I mean, look, hitting the balls is hard. If anybody has told you something different, I don't know what you're doing, because if we're talking about, you know, people that are successful 30% of the time, you know, are all stars, that's not necessarily a good thing. But, you know, Julio Rodriguez, way too good. He's never going to be, you know, he might be benched maybe once, possibly, but he's top 5 player in the league. I mean, is that even, can we even argue that? You know, top 10 for sure, but top 5 probably. And then we talk, maybe, you know, start talking about, you know, Ohtani, Trout, those types of things. But yeah, you're not, this is just luck. Just give it some time and it'll change rather rapidly. The funny part is that if you look at just his last three games, you know, he had four hits, three runs, you know, and just one RBI. But then you start going down the rest of the thing and he has all of four hits over the last eight games. So it's definitely what I like to say is them, not him. It's the ball where it's bouncing, everything else. And you'd think it would be helping, you know, that there isn't a shift. Not that it was affecting him to begin with because he was killing it last year. But, you know, I would expect him to find holes. He's a professional hitter. He just absolutely no problem. But if you're in my league, please drop him. I want him on my team.
Yeah. I mean, the big thing to look at, too, is, you know, just from this season as a whole versus last season, he's about a third of the way there. You know, he's got a little bit higher of a soft hit percentage, but not enough to really be worried. His medium has gone down a little, but his hard hit's going up. So I think that he's still too solid of a player to just cut, unless you're in daps leagues. So then
one thing to look at with his Statcast data is his launch angle. His average launch angle is at 10%. That's bad. That's why a lot of his balls, you know, they're going up, but they're not going to launch over the outfielders or infielders as much. They're not carrying. So he's going to struggle with power until he can get that back up, even though he's hitting the crap out of the ball. Like, he's hitting it hard. He's got to get more lift on it. You're not so going to just.
Go ahead. No. I was just going to say that for people that, you know, launch angle is a good thing, but don't have an idea of kind of like where, what, just to give you an idea, right? Less than 10% tip, less than 10 degree launch angle is typically a ground ball, right? It's typically going to go straight down. Line drive is, again, this is typical because anything can happen, right? Is between 10 and 20 degrees. And then a fly ball is 25 to 50 degrees. The happy place is like 25, 30 is typically the home run angle, or anywhere really 20 to 30. So what you're saying right now is definitely that he's just driving into the ground.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that 10% is driving into the ground, but a 10% launch angle, it doesn't carry very far.
Right.
So yeah, it tends to look like a ground ball. Like, you might fall kind of, you know, right in front of the second base, you know, kind of whatever. It's just not a good hit. So you want to be, as you know, as a good power hitter, it sounds like, you know, from what everything that I was reading today, you want to be somewhere in the mix of 18 to like 25. Because that means, especially if you're hitting it hard enough, that means it's got enough angle. Because if you start getting like too high, like, it's just going to go straight up in the air, right? You don't want those.
Right. Sure.
So you want power that's going to carry and carry far, or angles that are going to let the ball carry and carry far. And 10's not it. So that's the one thing that he needs to figure out. Everything else looks good.
So I was going to ask you, you know, the one thing he is seeing more of, if anything, right, is more fastballs this year, which, again, kind of goes against what you'd think to somebody. I mean, not a huge increase, right, like 4% increase, but of everything else, right, his breaking balls that he's seeing right now has gone down, again, by almost the same number. Off speed's pretty much the same, but the fastballs have kind of increased. You know, do you think there's anything that, you know, could be playing there, just in the sense of him kind of just trying to catch up to these pitches at the moment and not being there just yet?
That's an interesting one. I never really thought about that. It's weird. Like, you would think, like, some people could just tee off on fastballs, right?
Exactly. I mean,
like,
right.
That's kind of the one thing. So that's almost more of a red flag to me than anything. The fact that he can't just, like, locate a fastball and just drill it. So yeah.
Yeah. That was one of those interesting tidbits from the Statcast, but yeah. I agree with you.
Charles, stay tuned on this question. We might be able to help you here in about, let's say, 20 minutes, maybe. Hopefully shorter. If Adrian can go on a rant. So Tim Anderson.
Love the question, Charles. Dave, Eddie, J-Rod, or Bartolo, rest of the season.
I did like that.
I think that's incredibly important.
I ignored
important.
It because I didn't want AJ to go on a rant. So.
What is each of them wearing?
Oh, my God. Bartolo's got a crop top. You good for that?
Yo, I'm
every shirt up Bartolo's a crop top.
I mean, I was going Bartolo all the way regardless, but throw that crop top in and
this is exactly why I didn't ask this question. All right, so Tim Anderson's our next one.
Layup.
Yeah. I mean, he's been bad all year, last couple weeks. Yeah. Zero RBI, one run, one RBI. Oh no, sorry, right. Zero home runs, one RBI, one stolen base. Batting average was supposed to be his thing, and he's hitting .216 over the last couple of weeks. Dave Eddie, if you're still watching, I blame you for why he's on my team.
yeah, Dave.
Does anything call out to you that there could be a little bounce back? Like, if you look at his Statcast numbers and compared to, like, years past, like, maybe
so,
like something's looking like, oh, well, he's kind of doing the same thing. He's just getting unlucky. I don't know. Talk about
again,
long angle. Let's talk about that with Tim Anderson.
Yeah, well, yeah, well, well, you know, first off, Tim Anderson is miserable. And you could tell that because if you remember about a week, 9 days ago now, you know, he was caught, you know, anybody could read these lips. He didn't even need to have John Boy, right? When he said to Jose Abreu during the Astros game, I hate this place. You know, the guy since May 15th has even been worse since that, and he's under incredible scrutiny because of it. I mean, look, Tim Anderson, when he gets cold, he doesn't, like, you know, it's not like it's on me. He's both a streaky player and a guy that has an incredible attitude, and I don't mean incredible attitude in a good way. Just in his last seven games, he has zero stolen bases, which, you know, you can talk about his average, but he should be feasting right now on the stolen base rules, and he's not.
Like, can't get on base.
Well, that too, probably.
That doesn't help.
You're absolutely right. My fault there. But, I mean, you know, four hits, right? Only one walk, three strikeouts, and that's in 25 at-bats. I mean, there's nothing here that screams that he should be anywhere but on a waiver wire unless you're in, like, some crazy deep 30-team league. Other than that, Tim Anderson should not be touching your team.
Can we please talk about his launch angle?
I was waiting for you. Please.
Negative 0.2. You said a 10 degree launch angle with a ground ball. What the hell is this?
That means he actually catches it. Actually, I think the batter catches it at that point, and he just walks to the dugout at that point. It's just like, don't forget it. Like,
catches it himself. He's like, I'm out.
what's his average bat throw distance compared to this negative two hit angle? That's what I'd like to know. If he's like,
did you say fat throw?
Bat no, is I'm not bat throw.
Your boy Brandon.
Oh, bat throw. Bat throw. I was like fat yes. throw. I was like, okay.
I mean, I don't.
You know what the thing is? I actually did
that around somewhere.
I didn't think it was gonna be that weird of a comment coming out of your mouth.
It's
That's
like,
why.
Hey, I can't see it anymore. Fat
it's
angle.
Actually, like the most legit question he's had all night.
I feel bad. I just stepped all over it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, so next up here, we got Brett Rooker. Brett Rooker of the A's, who, man, was a good story a couple weeks ago. Now, not so much. Just one bomb, three runs, six RBI in the last couple weeks. Striking out 31%. Still walking a good bit in a nine. You'll take that at this point. Batting average down at 184, though. Just not making it happen. Anything you're seeing in the StatCast data that is making you think that, you know, he can get back to what he was doing early on?
So for us to go back to Christmas Carol, because we talked about Tiny Tim earlier from Christmas Carol, I want to show everybody that this is the ghost of Christmas future for anybody who owns Christopher Morel, is what you're dealing with right now with Brent Rooker, right? You know, he was...
I'll find a way to stream it.
I know. But, you know, he's 16 for 80 with just two home runs and 30 strikeouts with 10 walks. This is the bad side of, you know, these people that kind of show these amazing Statcast numbers for exit velocity. And, you know, when they hit it, you know, it's a home run. But if you look at, again, the totality of his career, Brent Rooker was, you know, DFA'd by the Twins because he always showed this incredible ability to just kill the ball, incredible exit velocity. But the problem was actually, again, touching the ball most of the time.
As so, Charles mentioned, strikes out too much.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm still holding on to him in one league, and I probably need to make the adjustment. I've been a little slow to the draw here, unfortunately.
Well, but here's the thing, though, right? I mean, again, it's still only, you know, end of May. I mean, who knows? He probably has another hot month in him, right? It could, but it could be June. It could be July. If you're struggling in the league and you're trying to look for that one up, if he's on your waivers, I might pick him up. If you have like a 4 or 5 outfield type lineup, it wouldn't hurt because power right now, especially in the outfield, is shallow. So if he comes back, it's cheap. Does it cost you anything? Grab him from the waivers. I don't. But again, his stat cast is one of those that's like fool's gold, right? When he hits the ball, amazing. Everything else, he's slow. He's not going to give you stolen bases and things of that nature. So I don't know what else to do there.
Last up here on our list here, we got James Outman. Are we out on Outman, AJ? Are we finally done with this guy?
James, are we out?
Man. I mean, 1 bomb, 3 run, 5 RBI, 1 steal over the last couple of weeks. This guy had a like torrid April and even beginning of May, honestly.
Right.
The bottom has fallen out. 154 like batting average. Seems like he's tired.
He just doesn't want to play
kids?
Right now.
Because, man, that's why I'm tired.
Maybe. They're all amped up because school's about to get out. Man, and he's like, whoa, man, I'm out. All right, I can't keep doing that.
All right.
I probably can, actually, but yeah, I'm out, man.
His StatCast data is great.
Yep.
You're looking at
he's
average hit speed of around 88, which is fine.
Over the last couple of weeks, I mean, come on, man. That's way lower than what I could do off of Tim Wakefield. I mean, come on. He's not walking. He's striking out almost 40% in the last couple of weeks.
I'm not out on Outman, right? I have him. I haven't dropped him. He's not on my lineups, obviously. But, I mean, just a week ago, he hit a grand slam on May 17th, right? He's playing good defense. He had an amazing home run robbing catch.
Does not win you a fantasy baseball championship.
But what have we seen over and over again, AJ, right? An amazing play in defense leads to amazing offense right afterwards. And I think that if, you know, you have a situation like Duran, right, last year where he was terrible with the bat and then he also let that infield, in the park home run occur. You know, he just slumped completely and then he came back and now he's completely changed. He's playing amazing defense. Offense is falling behind it. Yes, we have offensive specialists for sure, but Outman's never been that, right? Outman's always been a bat as well as defense guy. I think what we're looking at is an anomaly. It was going to be a great season for Outman. Go ahead.
I just want to laugh. I'm laughing at something now that I'm looking at it. Okay. So I have my rant about Semien. I'm looking at the StatCast data between Outman and Semien right now.
Okay. It
is near identical. Average launch angle, 17.7 to 16.7. Sweet spot angle, 34 to 37, right? Average hit speed, 88 to 88.
Oh, no.
Yet, Semien over the last couple weeks has been killing it. Again, Semien, you don't make any sense to me.
This show off the rails. Like we were focused, sure. We were going straight somewhere, and you just turned left.
It makes no sense to me.
Right?
I mean,
we were right.
Outman even has more barrels overall than Semien, but Semien has Semien. Please explain to me how the hell you're doing this.
Call in, please. Yes. Our number is 1-800 Baseball Semien. So please, just let us.
I actually just created a new game while I was listening to everything. It's called Baseball Semien 1000.
Well, that's funny because I also have one too. It's called the XW Bacon. So I
is it like Burger Town or Burger whatever? Is it Burger Town? Is that the name?
Sure, why not?
I don't know.
All right, so I think we're done with that. We got a couple quick other questions here. Finish off with some news and notes here. You know, little opinions here. We've got, first off, we got to ask, man, because this has been a guy who's been the bane of me and Daps's existence here. Close. Brian Bello, man. Is he bringing sexy back?
Bartolo? What?
What? Yeah.
Bartolo said
I thought you would like that.
Crop top?
This guy's been good, right? Dab, you had all the stats, man. Go for it.
I mean, oh God, this is killing me. I gotta admit, this is killing with Bello because
he's loved him, and then you hated him, and now you're like, oh, was I wrong to hate him?
Yeah, I know, and that's the thing.
Did I break up with you too fast?
And the thing is that he's not doing it against, you know, I mean, Anaheim's not great, don't get me wrong, right? But he's not, you know, doing it against his terrible teams. All right. So on the seven, so he's had a string of three great starts, right? Against the Braves, who are amazing, right? He had five strikeouts, only allowed two earned runs with that one home run and only one walk. And that's always been his problem, at least lately, right? It's the walks. And then,
although that's the only time he's walked a crap ton of batters this whole season, outside of like the first, I mean, one and two thirds.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. Dave, I also blame you for this one because you told us to not trust Brian after like the first two games he got exploded on.
But look, then he had the five. But then he had the five walks on the 17th against the Mariners. And you thought for sure he's going to get destroyed. And somehow he still struck out seven and only gave a one earned run. So, you know, look, if he can keep these walks down, I guess.
And, just yesterday.
I know. Just yesterday, yeah. Six strikeouts, but two home runs, right? The thing is that he pitches so hard, right? His ball is so hard, and it obviously is fast, but hard, that if you connect to it, then, you know, it's gonna take off. But you know, that's what happens with hard balls. And so that's him, you know, the other thing.
Him and DeJong friends.
Right.
Sorry. Yep.
I can't with you. So
because his name's Bayo.
It's Bayo.
At least
but it's yes.
me this time, not AJ.
Yep. But you know, and then, you know, look, and that's another thing too, right? Like, Cora is doing an incredible job managing him because he gave up that home run. It was a leadoff home run against the Angels on Tuesday, and I thought for sure he was done. I mean, I thought it was like, okay, yep, you know, after the five walks, you know, this is going to be a game where the wheels come off. Cora came out, which you never see, especially after a first inning, you know, home run. You kind of let them like, okay, he's just warming up, he's getting, you know, everything under his belt. Cora came out, and I don't know what he said to him, settled him down immediately, and he looks like the Bale of you know, of the last couple of weeks. So I think the manager's doing a great job there as well. I don't like to typically call that out, but there's something there that they've really kind of changed here. I still don't trust him at all. He's been benched for the last couple of weeks, but if he's out there on the waivers, pick him up, because you don't have the love-hate relationship I do with him.
Yeah, he really does feel like one of those guys that's going to go on this string of, like, he's going to allow 5-6 runs in, like, two or three innings, multiple games in a row, and you're just going to be like, yep, I fell for it. But yep. He just keeps proving us wrong. He, like I said, we all know he had an atrocious start to the season coming off the IL.
Yep.
Which, like, he came off the IL, started the spring late, didn't start the season, went through the minors. Maybe we just need to believe that that's the reason for the slow start. He was just getting ramped up. I mean, the talent's there, and I think that's why you always were talking to me about him, and, you know, we held on to him in the Dynasty League. And
yep. And I took many, many, many pot, you know, things from, you know, you and Dave, saying that I was an idiot for doing that. And you know what? I love to be able to take at least one lap of, you know, happiness, but I still don't trust him. Nope. You did.
I bought him in, no. I bought him in redraft leagues late.
No, I'm kidding.
Cut his ass because of Dave.
There you go. See, it's the worst things I've done is because of Dave. That's the problem.
I tell you not to trust any pitcher. Well, yeah, I got to draft somebody, Dave. Jeez.
You have to start a pitcher, Dave.
Get out of here. All right, just a couple quick thoughts here.
Doing the weekly pitcher planner right next week.
Yeah, the weekly pitcher planner. I'm out. It's just the picture of like Homer Simpson's dad walking into the bar, putting his hat on, grabbing it, and walking out. Right. That's it. That's the whole pitching planner from Dave. Right.
No fake.
Let's just have a little fun here at the end. Just a couple seconds each for this. How are we all feeling about the quicker game pace? So the game pace on average is about 30 minutes shorter per game. AJ, you're a guy who I know goes to a lot of baseball games. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I would say used to, but
well,
thanks, kids. I mean, I love you.
You still go to more than I do. Like, that's damn sure.
I do like it. I think, overall attendance in general throughout the entire MLB is way up. And I think this is a big reason for it. People just don't like going to sit for 3 plus hours for a baseball game. It just takes too long to get to the seventh inning stretch when you're finally allowed to stand up.
Does somebody have me like locked into the seat? I didn't know that. I thought I could get up and go to the bathroom.
Most of the games I go to have like seat belts and weird masks you have to put on.
Somebody standing over you with a taser. Sir.
Shut up. Okay, I'll just piss myself. It's fine.
A taser will do that.
The
to
tasing
you.
Is going to
the first 10,000
anyway, so.
Fans will get their own pee bucket.
That's what I'm really looking forward to, though. Bring your own pee bucket to the game day.
Right.
Forget this. Bring your dog.
My dad peed in this bucket.
Yeah,
I will pee in this bucket.
My dad peed in this bucket. And his dad before him. We're gonna pee in it today, son.
Wow, Charles, that's a great point. Wow.
Love it for TV. I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. I love it for TV. But if I'm paying the same damn prices I was paying a year ago and the year before that, I want my damn money's worth.
Look, I mean, I am so stoked not to hear some of these color commentary guys are terrible. And the less I have to hear about some of them are like, the better, right? Especially when it's the same kind of hiring stuff we've heard for season after season. Like, I remember when I was, in single A ball and I was spitting on the ball. Like, I heard this story 12 times already. Thanks. But, you see the color commentary guys like been shortened. But on some of the stuff, and I don't, the whole in between pitches, the 45, Nomar Garcia Parra, like, glove, touch hat, glad that's gone too. But there's other parts of it I'm kind of not happy with. Again, kind of some of the, and again, I'm just a nerd about this, but like some of the in-game, like, gamemanship, doing those things. I feel like that's kind of gone. I've also think, and I obviously it's still too early, but I still think a lot of the injury, well, not a lot, but some of the increase in injuries in pitching is because of the quickness in play. And I want to see some of these great pitchers play. I don't care what Dave Eddy says. So, I think some of those aspects are negative, but I do like the quickness. But if I'm at a game, like you said, I want to be able to sit down, not be allowed to get out of my seat till the seventh inning, and just enjoy it. And I think there's some pieces there, but that sounds like old man screaming at the sun type of thing.
No, yeah. I'm with you though, with like the gamemanship. Like, I hate the fact that like, man, a pitcher can't be like, no. Oh shit. No, I can't call that one off. I got to just pitch. Right. Like, he doesn't want to throw that pitch. Let him come off and throw his own. Like, it sucks, man. I just don't. And like, even, and then like the batter has to like quickly get back in the box before 8 seconds and like look at the, you're like, man, I don't mind a pitch clock, but I wonder if they took it a little too far. I wonder if like increasing it to like 20 seconds and maybe like 13 seconds for the batter would just allow a little more, like, what, these guys have fucking breathe. Like, it feels the, there are times where I'm watching innings, I'm like, it is almost too fast.
Yeah.
No, like,
holy crap, I don't even know what's happening right now. Right. Like
some of the quickness too that pulls off, and it is a gamesmanship thing. And this isn't my thought. This was something that was brought up on sports radio that I listened to, and it was, you know, when a batter hits a home run, the clock doesn't change. It's still the same thing, and it's like, you know, this guy's got to scoot his ass around the bases, and
it doesn't reset until he hits home plate, right? I never thought about that. There's no way.
I know what you mean. So they can't celebrate.
Well,
and celebrating is fine, like, because some of them were egregious anyways, but there's no backflip, you know, there's no Odor.
That makes it more fun, in my opinion. Like,
you know, or Joey Bats getting punched out or something like that. I mean, that was fun to see, and that's why you go to games.
Yeah,
see somebody get their asses kicked.
And see, there's a lot of, again, kind of the human, the fun aspect of this, right? Like, I can't remember who, this was the first 2 weeks of the season. I forgot who returned back to a previous team. They didn't allow the standing ovation because, you know, that was, you know, they're so crazy. They called a strike on him. Somebody yesterday, and see, here's my problem, again, with Major League Baseball. They don't create a consistency, right? Yesterday, the pitcher was off the rubber. I'm trying to remember who the batter was. It was off the rubber. The batter wasn't in the batter's box because he's like, well, the pitcher's off the rubber. The ump called strike three on the batter because the batter wasn't in the bat, you know, in the box with, you know, at 15 seconds, even though the pitcher was still off the rubber.
There was another game that something similar happened, and like literally the ump didn't do anything.
Right.
Like, the pitcher was off. Dave, nobody cares. sorry.
Who was pitching in that game?
The pitcher was like nine of this time. The batter sort of got in, but never really like engaged or whatever they're calling it.
Right.
And then like the clock definitely hit zero.
Yeah.
And literally nothing was called. And like one of the managers came out and was like, what the hell?
Right.
And the umpire was just like, oh, whatever. Next pitch, strikeout. It was like, so this makes no sense. There's just got to be, they needed to test this in the minor leagues a little bit more before they just threw it into the majors. And I get it. Like, I get it. Attendance is up. You know, I'm overall having more fun watching games. Sure. But there are times where I'm like, man, it's just a little too quick for me. Like, I kind of like in a heated battle, like, bottom of the eighth, it's a 2-1 game. Like, I don't want these relievers to feel like they just got to like fire in these balls as fast as possible. And like, I want there to be like, I wonder what's going to happen in the playoffs. Like, I feel like this is going to ruin playoff baseball. Yeah. Playoff baseball is the one thing where you're like, you love this, like back and forth, like who's going to get in whose head. There's no time for that now.
And that's the one.
It's not per the clock.
Well, but that's the thing, though. Like, so I'm wondering if Major League Baseball is going to be smart enough to say, you know what? Great pace of play, but for the playoffs, we're just all that goes out the window.
About as hard as AJ does. The baseball be smart enough?
Yeah, that's true.
Come on, they change the ball every year just because they feel like they can.
And just in case people who are watching don't know this, in AA right now, they're testing a new ball. They've been testing the ball.
Yes.
That's supposed to be less hitter friendly and more pitcher friendly, but none of the other leagues are doing it, just AA. So super fun.
Single A to AA, you got to figure it out. And then if you go from there to AAA, you got to figure it out again. Good luck.
You know, I'm just wondering if they're ever going to get to a point, kind of like they do in the NFL, where if your wide receiver can always check with the line judge to make sure that they're lined up correctly. I almost feel like the home plate umpire should almost be like, hey, you know, hitter, you know, give them a warning. It almost seems like the umps are enjoying catching these guys.
Love being part of the show.
Right.
And I've known saying, this for years and it's been horrible.
And it needs to be, but there needs to be like a, you know, 5 second warning or something that's built into the rule that helps avoid these incredibly stupid, where the batter literally, you know, is trying to do whatever he's supposed to do, but you know, the ump's like being just a jackass about it. So that's the one thing that I think needs to change. There needs to be a little bit more wiggle there.
Yeah.
I agree. Last question you hear, are we missing the shift? I'm not.
So from a fantasy baseball perspective.
I always hated the shift.
From a fantasy baseball perspective, no, but I kind of like it.
I hated it. Always hated it. Always hated it. Yep.
I don't know. It was kind of funny to me.
Why did you like it?
It was funny to me that, like, for instance, with Gallo, right? Like, they would put, like, 42. Like, they'd grab everybody from the dugout and from the bullpen and stick them all on the right side of the field. And the dude
grab
couldn't
his
still...
off the back. Like, here.
Yeah, that was funny to me. Like, you know, the crazy, like, you know, three infielders in the outfield. And I'm like... And it still worked. Like, it was kind of a fun way to look at the stats. Look, from a fantasy baseball hitter perspective, it drove me insane.
Yeah.
But from a just a interesting comical aspect of it, I don't know. I kind of liked it, but I also hate clowns. I don't know.
I hate clowns too. They creep me out. because of fantasy baseball for me.
Okay.
I just hated the shift. I was like, the hell, don't people play positions? Like, you're supposed to be over there. Like, just play your position, man. Like, nobody did that crap back in the day. Like, and I know I sound like an old, you know, old folk saying that, yeah. But like, come on, just play your position, play it upright, be better. Don't sort of like, I don't know, like,
but isn't it also flipped the other way too, right? I mean, and
I know
right?
I totally get you. Like, there had to be a way, like, come on, dude. Figure out how to hit it to left field.
I mean, if we're going to be gimmicky about, you know, fielders, and I mean, you know, gimmicky, you know, whatever you want, probably a better word out there, but, you know, about putting 22 fielders on the right-hand side, then, you know, get gimmicky with your hit stance. I mean, hit left-handed instead of hitting right-handed if that's really going to mess with them. I mean, and I love how, like, the argument was always like, well, these are professional hitters, and they're used to practicing the same way over and over. Yeah, but after, like, 100 at-bats where you're not, you know, you're at, like, the Mendoza line, you can make adjustments, and all these people
probably
are
professional. Sure. You're right.
But yeah, I don't know.
The shift should have been knocked out because hitters should have figured out how to get rid of it.
Exactly.
Instead, baseball had to be like, no, y'all are stupid, and now we have to get rid of it for you.
We're putting the training wheels up back on. And the funny thing is that now they're still implementing shift-esque just because they're messing with the rules just enough, and
they're literally
that.
Putting the second baseman or the shortstop like on a lefty hitter, they'll put the shortstop right. Literally right on second base, and then like they'll move over, they'll bring like the center fielder kind of down, like yeah. They are shifting, but it's not as extreme,
no,
it's not
no,
affecting
absolutely.
It as much. But AJ, what are your thoughts on this?
Sorry, AJ.
I like that it's gone. I wasn't a big fan of it.
Come on, man.
I mean, it was just weird. Dude. It's like, wait, am I watching soccer or something? There's way too many people with green under their feet and no dirt. I don't get what's going on here. Yet there's no goal in this outfield.
Do you work for a lawn care company? Was I not aware of this?
No, I don't.
Are you worried about the grass?
What?
Are you worried about the grass?
No, I'm not worried about the grass. I'm worried about the fact that I'm just trying to make a comparison because everybody was shifted somewhere they shouldn't have been.
You know, for once, Dave Eddy makes a fantastic point. You know,
you're right.
You know, and that's the thing.
Learn to shut down the wildcat pretty quickly. That's football reference for those of you who don't know.
Right.
But the shift became more and more effective.
They made people pay, right? They're like, hey, you're going to be a running quarterback? We're going to blow you up every time.
Remember when Miami was like awesome that one year with two running backs playing quarterback?
Yeah, they're like, oh my God, they figured out New England. They're going to, you know, oh my God, it's unbelievable. And they can do so many different
things. Super Bowl, and then, nope.
And they're like, oh.
And then they were terrible.
And they're like, oh, look, there's a all-pro linebacker that just destroyed our quarterback and his legs the other way. That's not good.
Yeah, so... Alrighty, so I think that is it for the show, fellas. Had a good time tonight, and we will be back next week with more fantasy baseball talk. Back on Thursday, I believe. Unfortunately, this week some bad news happened in my, you know, for us and for me, and so
Had to move it a day up early so I could go take care of some business later this week. But we will be back normal schedule next week. And glad you listened. Thank you. And we will see you then. Peace.
See you guys.